Sportsnet 650.
Let's bring in James Sharma from Sportsnet into this conversation. James, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, thanks, guys. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Well, now, see, I spent 11 years of my life living in Sweden, so I was cheering for the Swedes, and I picked the Swedes to win. Now, I will say I picked with my heart, not my mind, but it worked out that it made me look a lot smarter than I actually am. But what do you make of how Italy failed to qualify for the World Cup? Like, how big of a disappointment do you think this should be and is worldwide?
Well, I think in the context of the World Cup, obviously, it's a huge shock. When you think of the World Cup, there are certain teams that jump out at you, and Italy's one of them. You put Brazil in there, you put Germany in there, of course. And so Italy losing at this stage is almost unthinkable. But then you break it down and look at the qualifying process, and you look at a group with Spain that were drawn in. That was, to begin with, ridiculous. And you see a team that started off playing quite well in that group, and then they played Spain the second time, and they got just hammered 3-0, dismantled by a great Spanish team. And since that point, something happened, be it confidence, be it some of the selections and tactics by the coach, something went wrong there. So by the time they met Sweden, there were some serious question marks about this team. And listen, you know Sweden probably better than I do, but this is actually a very good team, a team that we thought would take a big step back this past season when the great Zlatan Ibrahimovic retired. But in fact, they became perhaps a better team, more of a collective, and they played fantastic two legs of football against Italy. They defended so bravely. They were so organized that I think from a footballing standpoint, if we forget that it's Italy and we just look at the players involved, from a footballing standpoint, it's not that big a shock that Italy didn't get past this Sweden team.
No, I don't disagree. And I think sort of watching sort of Italy the last little while, they haven't been at the same level, but I think it's just sort of the cathartic reaction fans have to not seeing Italy at the World Cup. But as far as the decisions went, and with Ventura, the head coach, with the manager at least, and there's been a lot of criticism from Italian soccer fans over the decisions he made. I mean, not starting Belotti, not bringing Insigne at the end of the game. Do you think that he could have done anything differently to change the result, or was that sort of just the hand he was dealt with the roster he had?
Yeah, you know, I really think that a different coach would have probably got a different result from this. Not saying they would have beaten Sweden, or I'm not saying they would have got past Spain in the qualifying, but there's some very strange decisions. We know what Italy is. You know, they're still based on a great defense, but that defense was aging. Chiellini, Bazzagli, even Buffon in goal, you know, they're still legends, of course, but they're aging. So going forward, he was so stuck for much qualifying in this 4-2-4 formation, and he finally changed that. Went back to a 3-5-2. But that meant that Insigne couldn't play in that system. Tactically, he wouldn't fit in there. But Insigne is arguably the in-form player in this entire squad. You've got to find a place for him. So he was a very stubborn coach and wasn't very creative. There has to be a way to feature, you think, Insigne and Jorginho, who, believe it or not, started yesterday for the first time under Ventura. This guy at Napoli has been wonderful. And it's been, you know, the fans have been clamoring for him to start all qualifying campaign, and he finally gets a start, by which point it's kind of too late. And he actually played well yesterday. So, yeah, I really believe that if it was an Antonio Conte, the previous coach, who knows, maybe an Ancelotti, who might be the next coach, I still think that there could have been a different result. I think Ventura can shoulder a lot of this blame, but so too can the players.
James, obviously Italy misses on the FIFA World Cup for next year. The United States will also lose out on the FIFA World Cup. Both big stories, but are they even in the same stratosphere when it comes to the international impact?
No, they're not, and I'm really glad you mentioned that because I'm seeing social media, Twitter especially, making a lot of comparisons, saying, oh, the World Cup, no Italy, no USA. Like, with respect to the USA, they're not in the same stratosphere as Italy missing the World Cup. Firstly, Italy's a much better team, you know, number one, than the States. Secondly, you know, the States haven't got much of a pedigree at the World Cup. Yeah, they've had some great moments, and perhaps they will have future great moments and certain games in the ascendancy in this region. But come on, this is Italy. This is a four-time champion, a team that's qualified for every World Cup since 1958, a team that's provided so many iconic moments for all football fans, no matter who you support. Them missing out, that's a big deal. The States missing out is a big deal to fans of the States. Of course it is, right? Yeah. And perhaps, you know, it has some ramifications to CONCACAF in this region. Perhaps not. But I get frustrated when I see people saying, wow, I can't believe the States and Italy aren't.
Oh, man.
That's nonsense.
I am absolutely. It's funny because I got into it on social media last night, yesterday afternoon, saying the same thing. And people are like, well, no, because the U.S. was fully expected to make it on CONCACAF. It was an easier conference. They had to make it. It's a bigger disappointment for them not to make it. I'm like, whoa. I know this for a fact that in Iran right now, and that's where I was born, people are talking about Italy not being in the World Cup, and it's a huge story between everybody. I have my uncles emailing me, texting me, and be like, what just happened to Italy? Nobody cares about the U.S. not being there.
Even my mum knew this story. Right? You know what shape of football is, you know? You're right. Italy, they almost transcend the sport in some ways. So they're not qualifying. That's a mainstream sporting story. The U.S. not qualifying, that's perhaps it's a soccer storyline. And I'm not, you know, discounting what it means. I mean, obviously, you know, the States should have qualified too. They blew it, you know, and that's a big disappointment. But it's not even close. You know, soccer is... In Italy, it's a religion, it's part of the DNA, it's part of the culture, whereas soccer in the States, it's not there just quite yet. You know, there's a very loud yet small following, we know that, same as here in Canada, but it's not the same. It's a different foundation entirely.
Maybe we as Canadians shouldn't feel so bad now. The United States failed to qualify, Italy failed to qualify. We're right there, gentlemen. We're right there among the best teams in the world.
I was in desk with Craig Forrest and Jim Brennan yesterday, and we're talking about failing to qualify for the World Cup. And I said, well, you know, we couldn't have two better guys to talk about this with.
Fantastic.
And they didn't take it too kindly for some reason. But you're right. You're right. You know, if Italy can't qualify for a World Cup, then hey, so what if we can't?
James, now that we're getting a clearer picture as to what the World Cup will look like in terms of the nations that are participating, what would be your favorite going into all this in Russia?
Yeah, you know, it comes down to, I think, four teams for me. Maybe five, but four. I mean, listen, Germany, to me, is the deepest in the world. And that's nothing new. I mean, you look at their team right now. I'm not sure where their starting 11 is. I don't think their coach knows who it is either, because they're so deep. They could put three teams in this World Cup, and they could get to the semifinals. They're that good, and they're great in qualifying. You then have Spain, who really have kind of rebounded from a couple of lean years. But they've got this great young group of players coming through the system. Still some veterans there. They were great in qualifying as well. You've got France, again, a very deep team. You've got Brazil and South America. Brazil, you know, there's something about them. You know, they're not the finished product, but they've got their swagger back. They're playing attractive football once again, and they're one to watch. And then if I had one more in there, and even though they almost failed to qualify for the World Cup themselves, Argentina, you never discount them. With Leo Messi and with their coach now, he's going to have them for longer. He joined qualifying late after they fired the original coach. He got them playing better. They snuck in. Watch out for Argentina. So I think four or five teams, but if I'm going to pick one right now, there's something about Brazil that stands out, even though Germany probably should be the favorites.
Yeah, to me, Germany is just so stacked. I mean, you're right. I mean, I go over their roster. I'm like, okay, so who's going to start? Who's going to play? I mean, and that could also be a bit of a challenge, you know. So, how do you find the best mix? We have so many choices to make. I do want to talk about France a little bit. And to me, I mean, we'll see when Pogba comes back too, because that'll play a big role into it. But if you look at a guy like N'Golo Kanté, how big of a difference maker is he? And with that midfield that France has, is anybody going to be able to get through them when they're healthy?
Yeah, it's a great point. Just to ask Chelsea, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Kante playing each game, that midfield, any loose ball, who's got it? They have it because they have Kante. And then this season he goes out injured and they start struggling. He comes back and lo and behold, they're playing well again. He's one of those players that he's not in the least bit sexy, is he? He's not going to score your goals although he can pick a pass, he's not going to be renowned for his assists. He does all the dirty work and no one works harder. He leads all the defensive categories, has done in the last two or three years in the Premier League. I think he's an absolute stud. You know, I would take him on my team any day. And I think a player like that allows the Pogbas and the Mbappes to shine and the Griezmanns to shine on that France team, which is why they scare me. But we saw this France team in qualifying look a little bit fragile at times. Mm-hmm. You know, they tied Luxembourg 0-0, right? They lost to Sweden 2-1. Well, hey, Sweden beat Italy. I mean, it's not a big deal after all.
No.
but you know, this France team, they're very good. But you wonder mentally, when it really gets tough, will they be up for the fight? And that's been a bit of a criticism of them for some time now.
And what about the Belgians? Because, I mean, they if we're talking about straight-up talent, Belgium has as much talent as almost anybody else. But can they get it together when it matters the most?
I just can't see a Roberto Martinez team winning anything, you know? And respect to him, he coaches the right way. They play attacking football. Defensively, I don't know, are they there? I mean, you're right, man for man, that there's a few more talented teams, and we've been talking about them as being a dark horse for a long time now, so we can't say that anymore. They're not a dark horse. Teams are ready for them. They could be one of those teams, you know, they should go deep in this tournament. I like them. They're great to watch, aren't they? They score so many goals. And they got some wonderful players. Kevin De Bruyne is maybe the top player in England right now. Mm-hmm. Lukaku is scoring for fun. They, you know, from the goal out, they're so, so strong. Absolutely, they're going to be up there. But there's something about them. I don't see them in that. You look at Germany, they're just so strong physically, yeah, mentally, and talent-wise. You know, it's tough to look past them or Brazil.
Yeah, we're talking to James Sharman from Sportsnet here on Sportsnet 650 with Sat and John. And I want to move on to the EPL for a second. Now, you did touch a bit about N'Golo Kante and Chelsea. Now, I am a Chelsea Blues fan, so that was music to my ears. But to me, this season is pretty much coming down to the two Manchester clubs, specifically Man City. I know it's still a lot of time left in the season, but when was the last time you saw a club like City play the way they're playing and being as dominant as they've been, especially when it comes to scoring goals like they've been so far this season?
You're right. It's how they're doing it, isn't it? I mean, we've seen some great teams in recent years. We saw Chelsea a couple of years ago, man. You know, last year even, they were so, so good. They're almost unbeatable. And defensively, they're very, very strong, but didn't have quite the same flair or panache as this Man City team. You know, I look back to maybe some of those United teams back in the 90s, 99 in particular, the treble-winning team.
Right.
You expected them to win each week 4-0, didn't you? You know, every week if they didn't win 4-0, it was like, they're off form. And that's how I'm feeling right now with Man City. They do it with such swagger. They're playing such great quality football. Now, at the back, there's some question marks still, but who cares when you're scoring four goals and when you're leading 3-0, maybe they switch off a bit here and there. That's a work in progress. That being said, you know, the one thing about City that, you know, if there's any concern, it's that I guess they've been doing it longer this year, but last year they won their first 10 games in all competitions and they were scoring goals for fun. And we actually were crowning them champions, you know, back in September last year.
Right.
And it didn't work out. Something went wrong there. I don't think that's going to happen again, but, you know, never say die. You know, this is a funny old game. These things can happen. But, you know, the way they're playing right now and all their best players are enjoying career years, which is frightening to think about. And when, you know, Sergio Aguero isn't guaranteed a starting spot, which I don't think he is, that right, speaks for itself, in my opinion.
All right, James, listen, great stuff. We really appreciate you giving us some time. I love talking soccer, so hopefully we'll talk to you as the rest of the qualifying plays out, and we got to talk some EPL and also some Champions League, because I know there are a few clubs in the Champions League that are playing well, and some are disappointing, maybe Real Madrid, so we'll maybe tackle that on a different day, my friend.
Would love to. Yeah, enjoy that. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. That is James Sharman from Sportsnet.
Sportsnet 650.